Doug and Wolf Show.
The next 4 hours of your life will be outstanding wherever you are if you keep listening to the Doug and Wolf Show.
You're calling your shot.
I'm calling my shot on today's show.
Doug Franz, Ron Wolfley.
You know that's good radio.
Oh, yeah.
Doug and Wolf, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Ding, 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 ding. Yeah! Bastard! Oh, good morning, Masonians. Yes, indeed. The Doug and Wolf Show, Savages of the Morning, broadcasting on a Quasimodo Wednesday. Get on that Quasimodo, ladies and gentlemen. Get ready to go down that hill into the weekend, right? Good morning, Command and Control. Good morning, Doug Lace and Studio Wife.
Hello.
How are you, my brother?
You know, I'm mixed. I'm just so thrilled with Merrill Kelly, the Diamondbacks, the game last night, and then there's a lot of things that happened yesterday in the world that I just don't understand.
Okay, there you go right there. Do you want to talk about that or do you want to forget that? You want to talk about it or do you want to get it?
You know what? I'll give you the four things and you decide where you want to go.
Oh, okay, here we go.
I'm just on the positive side, I am blown away at how horrific the starting pitching was for four games. Not horrific for Mad Bum, but bad
You're
for
still
four
thinking
games.
About it.
And then to drop Merrill Kelly's performance in there.
Unbelievable.
Was amazing. So I'm so positive about that, that the positive feelings are winning. But the other feelings are, I would assume that 99% of the NFL players that voted in the top 100 know more about football than I do.
Yes.
And yet, who is saying Matt Ryan is either not a top 100 player or a top 10 player?
Yeah.
Either one of those doesn't make sense to me.
Right.
Mistake. The Chargers saying Joey Bosa is the best defensive player in the NFL? 15 million more than Aaron Donald? What?
When did that happen?
Yesterday.
Yesterday.
Again, I would think
Aaron
the Chargers
Donald?
Know more about football than I do, but they signed Joey Bosa to a five-year, $135 million extension.
Yes.
And when you combine that with what he's going to make already, because it's an extension, so he's got, in a sense, a six-year contract, he's going to get paid $102 million if he hits everything. That's that's $2 million more than Myles Garrett, $12 million more than Khalil Mack, and about $20 million more than Aaron Donald.
Okay.
What are you doing, Chargers? I mean, and Joey Bosa's good, but he ain't no Donald.
You know what I thought of, Douglas, when you said that? I was like, what, the top 100? You've got to be kidding me.
No, no.
That's what I was talking about.
Just in money.
What an outrage.
I look at that, and that's...
Yeah. Exactly.
And then, and I'm not done, Bear, because this is important, too. And I there's no way Bear knew this was coming.
Okay.
And the last thing that's just driving me nuts... Mark Gasol cannot jump over a sheet of paper. He can't jump over a sheet of paper.
Don't go there.
D.A., dunk the basketball.
What are you doing, DeAndre? Don't get me started right there, honestly.
So those are the three things I just can't get my head around versus how great Merrill Kelly was.
You know what I'm thinking about this morning, Masonians? Forget about the freak out right now. Devin Booker slamming down on Pascal Siakam. Can you taste it? Pascal!
It is amazing how often NBA players are shocked that Booker can dunk.
Yes. Well, he is. You know, EJ said it on the broadcast, and it's an excellent observation, but it's one we've talked about in the past. Devin Booker is a sneaky good athlete.
Yeah!
He is. He's one of those sneaky good guys. You don't look at him and think, oh my goodness, he's so long and rangy and wild
right.
and athletic and explosive, right? But when you watch him, it's really interesting because for whatever reason, he's running by dudes. He'll run by dudes. He'll slam it.
Dunk, 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 dunk.
Yes.
I mean, I know you're trying to be positive, but just think about how different it is that an athlete of Siakam's abilities
yeah.
got dunked on by a guard, and a non-athlete of Mark Gasol's abilities blocked Ayton's little layup slash dunk, whatever that was. I don't even know what that was.
Listen, I can tell little you right hook. Now, whatever it was that he was trying to do right there, it was as passive gets.
Amen.
And this is the thing that, again, listen, I totally believe this. DeAndre Ayton's going to be a great player. I still believe this because that light is going to go on. Is it not, Mikal Bridges? The light bulb in the shed is going to go on. And suddenly, look out. When that is, I don't know.
You're sure that's going to happen?
I am. I think
because
he's gonna be a great
I totally believe the light bulb came on for Dwight Howard this year. And somebody look up what year this is.
Yeah.
I think he's been in the NBA for 27 years.
Yeah. There is that.
And the light bulb has finally come on for Dwight Howard. I just see DeAndre Ayton as a happy-go-lucky guy.
Man.
And once a month, once every 2 months, he's going to have a Madison Square Garden type of performance. And I just mean that. And there's some people – I'll never forget a tweet I got from one guy. I don't know what Doug's talking about. A dunk counts the same as a 12-footer. Do you understand now every time that Booker is in the open court after that dunk on Siakam, he's going to get fouled now. It's like, I'm not letting you, little guy, dunk on me. So now you increase the foul total, you get closer to the bonus, and you get Booker on the free throw line. It changes the way you're defended. There are zero people that are all that concerned about guarding DeAndre Ayton because at the NBA level, it's you know what's above stopping you from scoring? It's stopping yourself from getting embarrassed.
Yes.
That's the way the guys defend. First and foremost, I'm not going to let you embarrass me. Secondly, I'm going to worry about trying to stop you.
You know,
and now you don't have that. There's nobody in the NBA that's worried about getting embarrassed by DeAndre Ayton, so you defend him more aggressively. You're less afraid. Does anybody understand what intimidation does in a sports world? And no one's intimidated by DeAndre Ayton.
Nobody knows that better than me, and I'll take a knee right now. I'll take a knee, all right? Doug, I've got something. What? Okay.
Don't worry, I couldn't hear you.
Just take it. Just hit it.
Since we're not together in the Auction Community Studio.
Please hit it.
The Starting Five is brought to you by San Chevrolet. San Chevrolet, your home team for no payments until 2021 on select models. Head to sanchevrolet.com for details.
And now, it's time for your Arizona Sports Starting Five.
Just take a knee, baby.
You can't go to work without knowing these five huge stories.
Bring it.
Here's Doug Franz and Ron
right here.
Wolfley.
I forgot to push the button, so it'll pop.
Number five.
There you go. Number five. Wow, that was kind of louder. Number five this morning. So Joe Kelly is kind of a whiner. And I think he was throwing knuckle curves on purpose so he could say, hey, I was just throwing knuckle curves. But there is a brawl with the 3-0 count. He decides, you know what, I'm going to have to walk Bregman anyway. So the Dodger, he throws behind Bregman, hits Correa with a doesn't hit him, but comes up and in on Correa. Then they start mouthing off. But what's funny is as they're mouthing off, Correa is walking towards Kelly. Kelly is mocking Correa while trying to get to the dugout as quickly as he can.
Yeah, that was interesting, Joe. You kind of look like Mark McGwire in a brawl.
I would say he did.
Number four.
Number four is the Suns and their win over Toronto, but more specifically, 26 points in 27 minutes. Bridges 10 of 12 from the field, and he was all over the place defensively.
Are you kidding me, Mikal Bridges? Just sit down and don't get hurt.
That's true.
Number three.
You know what? Actually, that was number four. I just got excited.
Oh.
So there was three. Now let's go to what was supposed to be number four. Chandler Jones goes from not being one of the top 100 players in football to being one of the top 15 players in football. Do you think some NFL players said, oops, I forgot last year?
There's no doubt about that, Douglas, but where is Pat P?
He's either top 10 or not top 100.
Next.
I think we know the answer.
Number two.
Number two this morning is Cliff Kingsbury, and boy, there was a lot of interesting stuff, and I don't know what anybody found the most interesting, whether it was the focus on coronavirus and actually saying, yes, I'm going to bring up what happened with the Marlins, whether it's all the plays he's drawn up, but for me, It's him saying, right as of right now, there's not really a battle at right tackle.
No, there shouldn't be a battle at right tackle until the pads go on.
Oh, interesting.
Number one.
And the number one thing you need to know about this morning, Mad Bum, Robbie Ray, they couldn't do it at the top of the rotation. Merrill Kelly can. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Wow. Wow. I'm not going to say must win. I will not say must win. I will not say must win.
Yeah.
You'd have been down 1-4 on the season.
Oh.
Which, technically, the way the math, you know, works out is somewhere about 2-20.
Wow.
That would have been pretty ugly. That's a bit much.
I was going to say.
I would say 2-11.
There we go.
Sorry, I did quick math in my head.
Still think about that. 2-11. Can you imagine that?
It's and then Merrill Kelly is the rock that comes in 7 2/3 of an inning, only earned run is a solo homer, 7 strikeouts, 1 walk, and he's still stuck to the normal pitch count. So think about the other guys in this rotation who have been barely getting into the third and fourth inning with 100 pitches, and Merrill Kelly almost gets through a complete eight inning, quote-unquote complete eight innings.
What would be analogous for Merrill Kelly and what he provided the Diamondbacks, ladies and gentlemen? Maybe, I don't know, just put yourself in this situation right here where, I don't know, maybe you're going to Tybee Island. You're going to Tybee Island just outside of Savannah, Georgia, ladies and gentlemen. And, oh, you're so excited because you love the beach and Tybee Island, right? And you can't wait. You got your 12-year-old, your 10-year-old. You're all fired up. You got your wife with you. You're at Tybee Island on vacation. And suddenly you're frolicking. You're out on the beach and you're running down the beach and you're running into the ocean. And it's the best day of your life. And then you go home that night and realize, my goodness, I forgot to put on the sunblock. And you're just red. You got the red butt, period. And then all of a sudden your wife takes out this aloe vera stuff. Have you ever heard of this? This aloe vera?
Yeah.
And they rub it on the red stuff. And oh, my goodness, does that feel good? That felt so good, ladies and gentlemen. That's exactly what Merrill Kelly was for the Diamondbacks last night. A big handful of aloe vera being rubbed on your back when it was bright red.
You didn't put sunblock on?
I didn't. But what a job by Merrill Kelly. It's all starts are not created equal, Basinonians. And right now I can tell you Merrill Kelly and his profile in that clubhouse skyrocketed.
Just a guess. Merrill Kelly did exactly what we needed, and he basically carried us on his back through the entire day. We played downhill baseball. We scored some runs early, but this was really centered around what Merrill was able to do, throwing up a ton of zeros. You know, the combination of three pitches was working very, very well. Sometimes four pitches working very, very well. And it obviously, we tried to carry him through that eighth inning, like certain matchups with certain situations, but he turned over the bullpen and they did their job.
I don't know what anybody else felt like, but it seemed like Zach Gallen and Luke Weaver had three ball counts almost every other batter.
Mm.
Three ball counts.
Wow.
For Merrill Kelly.
He was nails, absolutely, yeah. Right? And he finished strong last year. Think about last year and Merrill Kelly. He finished so strong last year and picked up right where he left off. He was dominant. Mm-hmm. At the end of last year, he was really, really good for the Diamondbacks. I thought he was the best in the rotation at that point in time, right? But, man, he was so good, and it was so refreshing to watch him work yesterday. He gave his team exactly what they needed in a dominant performance, and that is the kind of thing that gets the attention of your teammates. Mm-hmm. When you come through when you need it badly, and the Diamondbacks needed a performance like that badly.
Here is Torey Lovello. You had Big Red Rage last week, so you're doing Big Red Rage. Torey Lovello, nice enough to come on the show anyway, even though he does like you. And I just asked him, what was your toughest roster decision that you had to make?
Yeah, there were some doozies. I'm going to say telling Alex Young that he was going to be going to the bullpen. He saved us several times last year when our pitching was extremely limited. He came up from the minor leagues as a reliever, began starting for us.
So he said, out of everything he had to decide, telling Alex Young, you're going to the pen, you are not the number five starter, was the toughest decision he had to make.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at how well Alex Young pitched, I am sure that Torrey Lovello didn't change his confidence level that he was right to put Merrill Kelly as the starter. But had to be wondering, okay, am I sure about this?
Right.
Did I get this right? And to have Merrill Kelly drop what he did, can I give you the craziest theory that no one's floated at all?
Okay.
I'm going to go conspiracy theory a little bit. Merrill Kelly, it was said by Torrey Lovello yesterday that he talked to Merrill Kelly and told him, we're going to find a spot for you in this rotation. Before Mike Leake opted out of playing the season.
Mm. Really?
Now, as soon as he said it, he goes, well, wait a minute. He kind of said, you know, I don't remember when this meeting was. Maybe I opened up a little too much. Because he was asked about how crazy it is that Mike Leake was the guy for that starting spot. Torrey Lovello was kind of like, well, I didn't say Mike Leake was the guy.
I can't really speak on that. But, you know, once again, we had a real tough decision, right, because of what we had left with the six guys. And we put Alex Young in the bullpen. You can see that's already paid off for us as well. And, you know, Merrill certainly one of our leaders last year with staff wins. And he deserved this opportunity. And you're right, it speaks volumes about our depth. We had our number five guy. Who, you know, typically probably doesn't have number five stuff, but we've got a lot of really quality arms, and he wound up in the fifth position.
And he kind of got pressed on that. He said, "No, wait a minute. Was Mike Leake not the guy? How did he feel going into spring training when he had to compete for a roster spot?"
Mm-hmm. I can't remember exactly what was told to him, but we didn't tell him he didn't have a spot. You know, we created some competition among certain guys in certain situations. And, you know, I can't remember exactly what we told them. And I know that probably dug in a little bit too deep with some of the information I'm sharing with you. It was a long time ago and things changed. But Merrill Kelly was firmly in our plans as a starting pitcher from day one of the original spring training.
Now, listen to that. Merrill Kelly was firmly in our plans from day one at the beginning of the initial season, spring training.
Yes.
Can I float a theory that is there any chance Mike Leake knew that when he opted out?
You know what, honestly, Douglas, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. Mike Leake does.
Yeah.
Is there a possibility? Yeah, I would say there is a possibility right there. Is there a possibility he was going to go with a six-man rotation?
There is that possibility.
There is?
No, but I mean, when you say there's a possibility, logically, I have to, of course, to say yes. Maybe they were going to.
Maybe that's it, and maybe not. But, you know,
I think this is a very interesting story, and I turn this into a positive. A lot of people are going to turn this as a slam onto Mike Leake. Oh, so you weren't going to get a starting rotation spot, so you just left the team, or you just wanted to opt out so you get your money.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. Listen, that's an argument for another day. I'm looking at it saying, how fascinating is it that they believed in Merrill Kelly that much? So I'm going pro Merrill Kelly, not anti Mike Leake here. But that gets me fired up that not only did they show that level of commitment to him, but then he rewards them with the game, as you said, the Aloe Vera game.
Yeah, no, the Aloe Vera game. You better believe it right there. Merrill Kelly, just exactly what the Diamondbacks needed. But you know what? It's interesting. The strength of this team is their rotation. That is something that we've talked about in the past and something that Torrey's talked about as well. Mike Hazen has talked about it. Derek Hall, as a matter of fact. The strength of this team is their rotation. And one of the reasons why, it's the depth that they have in their rotation,
yeah.
Right? I mean, think about it. You had Merrill Kelly. You had Mike Leake, A.Y., Taylor Clark, you could throw him in there.
Absolutely.
As well, I mean, these are guys that were battling for that fifth spot in this rotation. It's one of the reasons why I look at it. It's not just the talent, I think, they have in this rotation, but it's also the depth of this mm-hmm. rotation. It's one of the reasons why, let's face it, it's one of the reasons why, Basin Ornings, we were all bummed out. Bummed out at a 1-3 start. Bummed out that the San Diego Padres, that their rotation was better yep. than the Diamondbacks' rotation.
I would say the number one strength of the team is starting pitching. The number two strength is grinding out at bats. So even if you don't get the job done, you've worn out the pitcher, and the guy on deck gets to see a lot of pitches, and he does his job. And against San Diego, what were they not doing?
Oh,
getting
man.
Good starting pitching or grinding out at bats.
Yes.
What happened yesterday?
Yes.
Merrill Kelly threw 12 first-inning pitches. Kyle Gibson threw 33.
Exactly.
The total flip. A total flip of the entire San Diego series, save the eighth and ninth inning of Game 3.
So much more as the show unfolds.
Oh, that was a jacked up game. That was exciting. Big time. 1 o'clock today on ESPN 620 AM. That's again 1 o'clock. Mad Bum with his 4.76 ERA takes on Lance Lynn, who has not given up a run. He pitched again. Now, granted, it wasn't at Coors Field, but he shut down the Rockies and gave up no runs in six innings in his first outing of the year. So this is both teams' ace, and both teams are desperate to keep winning right now if they want to, I hate to say it, stay alive in the playoff race, because it's that big of a deal right now. And guess what? The Diamondbacks are tied for the eighth spot right now.
Okay.
They lose the tiebreaker, but they are tied for the eighth spot.
All right, here we go.
Coming up next, NFL training camps are opening up. Cliff, how are you going to handle it? We talk Cardinals next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. I know this is out of nowhere, but I'm just kind of planning out my DVR week as I sat here in the not-so-beautiful part of the program, and I'll make a early eight-game prediction. Ja Morant's about to go viral and big time in these eight games in Orlando. I'll just tell you now.
Why? Is he going to dunk over Aaron Baines again?
Yes, exactly. I mean, all games on the East Coast with all eyes back on the NBA when you're not normally sitting around watching Memphis basketball. Ja is going to really shock the world this
I'm your draft expert. Take Ja Morant.
Boy, you were right on that one.
I did not.
Doug,
wow.
I thought you were going to say you're going to go back on the DVR and watch some old Murray State games, Doug.
No,
that
was all during last year. And by the way, just to make sure those of you that aren't used to this, that was said in total hypocrisy, because by the time it was said like a week before the draft, or I think it was during the draft lottery, by the time that came around, everybody knew who Ja Morant was. It wasn't a secret anymore. It was the fact that I started talking about him in November, like, hey, watch this guy. But everybody knew about him then when I said that. Was
why
a joke.
Why aren't we playing the DeJuan Blair, the popcorn knees? That's the
I was still I right about that.
We have the DeJuan Blair cut.
The Suns needed toughness at the time. Right. He made it through his 3 years as rookie contract.
Three years.
What trumps toughness? Ligaments in both knees.
No.
That's what's better than toughness.
Still should have done it. And yeah. Steve Kerr would admit that now.
Right.
This is coronavirus in the middle of a camp. How do you handle it?
We want Blair.
No. Give me just one. Just one knee ligament in either knee. I mean, just one ligament.
Blair it is.
Oh, no.
Yeah, boy.
No. That was a low point.
They were talking about taking the ligaments from his eyebrows and putting them in their knees, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, as he said going into that draft, I didn't have those ligaments when I was Big East Player of the Year my freshman year or sophomore year.
Right.
Yeah.
We also are looking for longevity here.
We need to talk Cardinals, but I do have to say, one of the great stories in Doug and Wolf history, and Paul, you might not even know this. We used to do a random giveaway of a Fouchal t-shirt. It's what you say if you don't know what to say.
A Fouchal.
And all you had to do was follow us, because at the early beginnings of the Doug and Wolf show, there was this invention called Twitter. And Wolf comes in to the station one time saying, have you heard about this? And Wolf is loving Twitter, except for one thing. He thinks the name Twitter is dumb.
Right.
So he sent Yoda on a one-week excursion to find something better than Twitter that does exactly what Twitter does.
Because I don't tweet.
And finally, Yoda comes back all dejected saying, Wolf, I failed. I can't find anything else. There's no other platform like Twitter. You're going to have to tweet if you like Twitter so much.
Right.
So to drive Twitter followers, you might get a free Fouchal t-shirt. And I would say about T-shirt number 12 or 13 ever given out in the history of the Doug and Wolf Show was to Juan Blair. He followed us because we had him on the show one time. He became a follower, and the computer actually picked him at random, and he sent us a picture wearing a Fouchal T-shirt.
That's DeJuan Blair.
Now,
stop it.
It did not fit, however,
Paul. I forgot about that.
And ever since that story, Dave Pasch has turned Wolf into a Twitter cowboy, and Wolf has been pandering for followers ever
since.
Stop
it. Are you kidding me? Dave Pasch is the Twitter cowboy. Yeehaw!
Cliff Kingsbury, Zoom presser yesterday. What are you going to do to properly prepare in this properly prepare in the preseason? I'm not good at alliteration.
It lines up very similarly to how we had it in college. And so just being a year removed from that, how we built up, there are no preseason games. You just know what you got and not what anybody else has. And so there's definitely going to be some anxiety heading into that first week. And, it's going to be new for everybody. We'll do the best we can to maximize those padded practices. And you're trying to get your starters and number two guys ready. And at the same time, do a lot of evaluations on your young guys. And so I think practice scheduling is going to be key and finding a way to fit it all in.
Isn't that interesting?
Hey, if anybody knows how to get a team regular season ready without a preseason, it's a guy who's a year removed from the college game,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Maybe the Cardinals have a small competitive advantage here without any preseason games in August, considering a year ago that their new head coach, new to the NFL, might have been at a bit of a disadvantage. Well, maybe the tide has turned, the tables have turned, and now the Cardinals, they might know something some of these longtime NFL guys don't.
Here's the one thing you've got to consider right now. Do you think the Arizona Cardinals have talent? Are the Arizona Cardinals good? That's the question that Cliff Kingsbury has got to answer. The problem is the talent is without a doubt improved. Oh, my goodness, it's not even close to what it was in 2019. The talent has totally, totally increased on this team. So now what are you going to do? Are you going to risk getting them hurt in training camp by going with an awful lot of live rep situations to try to get that talent ready to play? See, I think this system right now with no preseason whatsoever, it really favors teams that aren't very talented. Because now all of a sudden you can actually go out there and practice and say, let's go. Hey, boys, let's go.
That's interesting.
Let's have at it. Because you know what? We gotta get you ready. We got to find out who's going to be good and who's not going to be good, who's tough in here and who isn't tough. We got to find out. It actually benefits teams that aren't very talented because now you're faced with a conundrum if you're a head coach. I've got a very talented team, but you know what? I don't want to get these guys hurt. So I better be really, really careful in how many live reps I'm going to have in practice. And this is going to be something, Paulie, we should count going forward.
How many teams, though?
How many live reps in practice? How many live reps through the entire training camp do they get?
Well, and last week I said there was a report that one NFL head coach said anonymously, said, you know what, no preseason games, guess what? I'm going to ratchet up the physicality.
Yeah, I wonder who he was. Do you know who he was?
I do not. It was an ESPN insider who cited a head coach who had texted her and said,
I've got an unproven team, I'm going to ratchet it up. You better believe it.
But how many decision makers look
Belichick
at their
camp with how much of the opt-outs they've had and the fact that he's already a guy that doesn't mind hitting in practice?
Did you see Frank Caliendo, Paulie? Did you see his tweet about this? Bill Belichick tweet?
Right.
And all these guys see, Alien, dude, you're killing me, bro. Right.
Well, you know what I always say. No, not that. You got to look out for yourself first. Right. Correct. There is no I in team. But there is an I in COVID. And then virus. Very good. Okay, well, I can't influence you either way. Do what you think you need to do. Okay. Goodbye. You'll sit down.
That's Bill Belichick. That's him. I mean, it sounds just like a Boeing.
It took me three times just to hear it. I had to turn up the volume on my phone because, you know, he's just mumbling there on camera. It's like, man, you know, it's just, that's classic Belichick.
I had sat in a room with Bill Belichick where he was talking. just like that.
I mean, when they came to the AZ for the Super Bowl against the Seahawks, and I was on post-game duty, and I thought I had a pretty good spot in the Belichick press conference. I was like three or four deep for a Super Bowl. I mean, that's front row. I couldn't hear a damn thing. Belichick's just mumbling into his shirt collar. I'm like, okay. Oh, my gosh, can somebody amp this up? Yeah.
I do wonder. It's going to be a story to watch how head coaches are preparing their guys to play in a National Football League game.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to do it? Because you can understand it from both perspectives.
One of the things that I think has taken over a lot of camps is the Marlins conversation. Listen, you can't talk about this enough. If nobody on the Phillies got it and everybody else seems to be okay, I will stand on the table and tell you, there had to have been something in Atlanta. If Lou Williams can't go to Atlanta for a funeral without going to a gentleman's club, I guarantee you somebody in the Marlins, some young guy in the Marlins, decided to break all protocols and go out and enjoy themselves in their summer camp games in Atlanta. And all of a sudden, boom, one team gets wiped out. And Cliff Kingsbury was asked yesterday, are you going to use the Marlins as a lesson to your team?
I think you have another sport that's going through it right now, something that in season that you can point to and see what's going right, what's going wrong, and how we can try to learn from it. And I mentioned it earlier, it's going to take everybody. It's young, old. I feel great about our leadership. I feel great about some of the veterans we have on this team that can help guide those younger players. But it'll be a work in progress. I think if you're not learning from these other sport leagues, then you're missing out, and we'll definitely be monitoring them and try to adjust from there.
He didn't say somebody blew it for the Marlins and we're going to make sure that doesn't happen here. But he basically said, if you're not looking at them and learning from them, you're not paying attention.
Well, baseball made sure to say yesterday there have been no new positive tests on any team other than the Marlins.
They didn't come out and say there's no positive tests for the Phillies in that way. They kind of said it as if they're saying, hey, the Phillies are following things the way they're supposed to. I thought Rob Manfred was going to jump up on the table yesterday and say, don't blame me. Blame the players for the Marlins.
Well, and the NFL has made it clear that if you miss games or you go on the COVID IL because of your own actions and failure to follow protocol, then you're going to jeopardize salary. You won't get a paycheck, the NFL has said, if you violate some of these protocols.
It's amazing right here because I'm a big Motley Crue fan. I was, ladies and gentlemen, back, of course, when I was getting ready. I was getting ready to go out and play, and Motley Crue would be being played, right, when I was young, ladies and gentlemen. And they had this song named Girls, Girls, Girls. Have you ever heard of that, Bali, right there, right? One of the lines in that song, Girls, Girls, Girls at the Dollhouse in Fort Lauderdale, right? And then Girls, Girls, Girls rocking in Atlanta at Tattletales. Maybe that was the problem. Maybe in Atlanta at Tattletales, Paul, something you know all about.
We do not have time to get into your affinity for the hair bands, the spandex, the makeup. We don't have time for all that, Wolf.
They were a guilty pleasure. There's no doubt about it, the crew, but you know what? I think you're probably onto something. Who knows if somebody did something like that in Atlanta? I'll bet it probably happened.
I totally believe it. Coming up next, is one Suns player primed for a bubble breakout? It's coming up on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Things slowing down a little bit here in the second half. Suns go inside to Booker.
Wow.
Goes in for a jam with the left hand. Oh, brother.
Over Pascal Siakam.
Ooh.
Good morning.
Ooh. Pascal.
There's the call with Alan Tim on the mic on ESPN 620 AM, in which the Suns a winner last night, 117-106. There's a lot of things to get to from this game. The negative was mostly the play of DeAndre Ayton. It was back to the DeAndre Ayton that drives us crazy. But the two positives, which were just so overwhelming. I'm sorry to be a stat geek, but the steals stat in this game.
Oh, yes.
It is so obnoxious that you have to talk about it, and I mean first thing, and that is 22-6. The Suns had 22 steals.
I mean, I'm not going to say every second of the game, but for the most part, their defense was relentless. And the Raptors were like, okay, I'm done with you guys. You little upstarts, we don't care this much. It was crazy. And then, secondly, Bridges.
Oh, my goodness.
26 points in 27 minutes, 10 of 12 from the field. Off the top of my head, I didn't write it down. I think he was 4 of 5 from 3. And that had nothing to do with how good defensively he was.
So let's go ahead and parachute in from 30,000 feet, Basin Orleans. First of all, Toronto was good, Ron Wolfley reporting.
Right.
One of the best teams in the Eastern Conference, of course. One of the best teams in the NBA. And like the Celtics, the starters played them straight up for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the starters played really, really well and won the battle of the starters. And it didn't feel like a scrimmage to me. How did it feel to you, Douglas?
Because not until the fourth quarter. I agree totally.
Yeah, exactly. When the starters were on the floor, the Suns wanted to win this game.
Yeah, yeah.
And so did the Raptors.
And more specifically, the Suns, they've gotten a lot of leads this year on people, and then they blow it. And they came out in the third quarter with the same focus they started the game with, and that was one of the number one problems of the normal regular season.
Listen, this was the last scrimmage game before the eight-game finish, and you could see it on Nick Nurse's face. You could see it, Basinonians. He wasn't happy with his team. Mm-hmm. And the reason why is the Suns outplayed the Raptors and won the scrimmage. They won the actual scrimmage on the scoreboard, of course, and they won the starter scrimmage.
I'm with you. Monty Williams, and you're going to love this, Wolf, after the game. Here's Bridges with 26 points, 27 minutes. I'm not going to play you the whole cut, not to take him out of context, but because I want to be fair, but I want to let everybody know. As he continues to talk, there's a ton of basketballs and people yelling in the gym, and it gets harder and harder to hear him.
Yeah.
But it's so important what he says. I want you to hear it. Here is Bridges, started to play well at the end of last year. Then you bring in a new coach. The new coach, I'm not going to say he didn't trust him, but just wasn't overall impressed with Mikal Bridges' game. And Mikal Bridges did not sit around and pout, fought his way back into the rotation to impress the coach. Now he's an integral part of this team. So when it's time to praise him, Monty Williams is saying, yeah, he did well, but let's hold off here a little bit. He's still a young guy.
I'd be careful of all those declarations about, you know, he's still a young player. He's playing with confidence. You know, there's a lot of stuff that we value, but he knows he has a long ways to go.
I mean, think about that. We value what he does, but I want to hold off on all those declarations of his greatness. He's still a young player, and he knows he has a long way to go.
What is he doing, Douglas?
I love the motivation. I'm even going further, though. This is one of the most positive human beings in the world. I mean, he is super positive about everything, and yet with a Mikal Bridges, he's still hard coaching.
He's got ding, 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 ding. He said it right at the end. He's coaching. Mm-hmm. That's what he's doing. This is Bruce Arians, ladies and gentlemen. Bruce Arians is one of these guys. He's constantly trying to raise the ceiling. And I think that's what Monty Williams is doing here. Now, maybe their methods are different. Maybe B.A. raises that ceiling a different way, the expectation. Maybe he's trying to push the guy through the ceiling. But Monty Williams is doing the exact same thing. He doesn't want to put a ceiling on Mikal Bridges. It's one of the reasons why we looked at DeAndre Ayton last year. And we're all over it saying, do you believe DeAndre Ayton last year? It feels like he's played 10 years for the Suns last year. And just talked about the fact, why would you limit DeAndre Ayton? Why would you say, oh, he's doing fine, he's doing great. Why would you ever lower the ceiling for D.A.? A guy who's got that much talent, you just keep pushing the ceiling up. Keep doing that. The bar of expectation needs to be raised. And that's exactly what Monty Williams just did with Mikal Bridges.
Yep.
Why would we put a ceiling on him? Oh, he's great. He's doing fine. He's developed so nicely. Past tense, like it's over. No, it's not over. He's growing, so why would we put a ceiling? Why would we lower the bar for Mikal Bridges? That's what Monty Williams is doing.
A lot of hardcore Diamondbacks still to come. 8:45, Jared Porter, the senior vice president and assistant general manager. Merrill Kelly is going to join us live from Texas coming up at 9:15 to talk about his great outing. Game 6 of the season is at 1 o'clock today against the Rangers before the Diamondbacks have their home opener tomorrow. It's at 1 on ESPN 620 AM. Wolf, I mentioned this earlier today, and you didn't sound terribly shocked about this. I'm one of those people that unless you're talking about Tom Brady as your quarterback or Kyler Murray in this case, whatever, there's competition at every spot.
Sure.
And someone asked in the press conference of Cliff Kingsbury, do you consider the right tackle spot an open competition?
We discussed that. We want to see how Marcus looks. He says he feels the best he's felt in a long time, having all these extra months of rehab, not being forced back anything. May be huge for him. And so he has been a really good player in this league a long time. And if he can start off at that level, then he's going to slide right back in there at right. But we're excited to have some options too. Like I said, Justin's development last year, drafting Josh, signing Kelvin, that's going to be huge. But we expect Marcus to be able to slide in there and do a nice job right away.
Granted, if you want to get technical, he said if he's healthy and he can slide in there, we expect him to be the starter. But I don't know of a lot of times in my life where fans and media say, here's a position battle, and the head coach is basically saying, no, it's not.
Yeah. You know what? Honestly, first of all, I think he's telling you the truth.
Uh-huh.
In Josh Jones in his rookie year and Justin Murray as well, right, throw him into the mix right there, they're not as good as Marcus Gilbert. This is something that I said when Marcus Gilbert showed up here, the day he showed up, when he's healthy, and I realize we can all go, well, yep. What are you talking about? He's never healthy. Okay, and you're right, but when he is healthy and was healthy in the past, you're talking about a guy that is Pro Bowl caliber right tackle material.
I think the way you answered the question is what we expected, though. For me, I would have expected Cliff to say almost exactly what you said. Listen, if Marcus Gilbert is totally healthy, we feel like he gives us the best chance to win. But he's going to have to earn that spot because, obviously, the health concerns have been pronounced the last couple of years. So, yes, it's an open competition, and if Marcus Gilbert's healthy, we expect him to get it. Like, he didn't stress competition. There was like, it's just, yeah, if he's fine, he's ready, he's the guy.
There's a couple of other things you got to take note of, Douglas. Number one, maybe this is a situation where you know what Marcus Gilbert is all about, and I've been talking about this as well. Known commodities in NFL training camps this year, they're going to be huge. A known commodity. Not rookies, a known commodity like Marcus Gilbert when he's healthy and when he's capable of playing and what he's capable of doing. It's going to be huge to any coach. So first of all, he's telling you the truth. Secondly, he may be hinting at what's to come for training camp, where there's not going to be a lot of live reps. So it's going to be really, really difficult for somebody like Josh Jones to come in suddenly and beat out Marcus Gilbert. And number three, Basinonians, why would you ever say, well, yeah, of course it's an open competition. Why not make a rookie work? Why not go ahead and try to raise the ceiling for him and make him work and let him know this is your lowly place? There's nothing wrong with that.
Coming up next,
2-2 the count with two outs in the ninth. Bradley to Gallo, and he struck him out swinging.
That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.